worship, to lift one another up. But if we're ashamed and we're not close and we don't love one another, or we have developed a spirit of judgment and criticism, who's going to tell? I'm not going to tell you my business. With that religious look on your face. Like, more, sister, more. Tell me more. So I can pray for you as I go home. And before you get in the car, you got the cell phone. Girl, you should have heard what Pastor told me. Talking about a stronghold. She's always been like that. You know, I knew her since elementary school. It is. And we have to be in a position where we really love one another and have empathy one for another and care for one another. And if you hurting, I'm hurting. If you crying, I'm crying. See, Pastor, our heart is to see everyone set free and delivered and living a prosperous life. And I guarantee you, every stronghold you share with someone else, they themselves have been there. Don't let them think they haven't. Because, see, you can come to me with your concerns, and I can give you the impression like, ooh, really? Never been that way. And I know I'm lying. I'm dealing with the same issue, but because I want to impress you, I'm going to lie, and it's only the truth that's going to set you free, not a lie. And people can tell. See, if I go to you with my concerns, I can look right in your eyes and tell if you have empathy and compassion. Or I can tell if you're full of pride and you're just waiting to hear my business so you can judge me. And we don't want that spirit here, because the enemy has been using that too long to keep us under his control. So there's a freedom here. And I thank you, brother, for crying out. You cry out anytime you want, because we have people here that will pray for you and set you free. And even we're not going through it, we got family members that are. I got coworkers that are. I got people in my neighborhood. A spirit is a spirit. He don't care who he oppresses. He doesn't care. So we need to just begin to release the love and build up the hope and the fellowship. So when you come in here and the word of God is being shared, your thought isn't on your problems. The worship sets you free. The love sets you free. The freedom itself sets you free. Because, you know, you can get up at any time and say, pray for me. Help me. Hallelujah. So if you got a stronghold you're dealing with, don't sit there and pamper it. It's time to be set free from that. It really is. You got something to say, brother?
I would basically say that love is alive in this season, and grace is alive in this season, but the only way love is going to flow is through the believers, through us. So I guess it's in line with you. It ain't coming. It's coming through us. So
that's what was so powerful about that song you sung, I'm Going to Live and Not Die. Because if we don't live and go out and share the gospel, who will? If all of God's people died today, who's going to take the gospel out? So that's why it's important that we proclaim we should live and not die. Hallelujah. If nothing else to help you to fight, it ought to be, but I'm needed in the army. I can't be sick. I can't be oppressed. I can't be, because I have to go out and claim territory for the kingdom of God. It gives you something to fight for. I have to read the word. I have to pray, because that's my ammunition that I'm going to use when I'm out taking territory from the devil. You can't go out there in a war, am I right, those in the service, with no weapons. You all that, they're going to look at you and faint. Ooh, Pastor Hines, ooh. No, you need your weapons. If nothing else, the weapons made you feel safe, didn't they? So when you go out full of the word of God, full of the Holy Spirit, covered in his grace and in his anointing, you're going to feel safe against the enemy. Because, you know, anywhere he comes, you have an offensive weapon. We shall live. And speaking of that, Gideon's army, Roy was given a word. He wants all of us to come together on Tuesday, because God has really put on his heart that we're the pillar of strength in our community. And each community will now be visited by the army of the Lord. And he wants to share that with us. And anyone who wants to be a part of Gideon's army, you're welcome to come out Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, because it's time to get moving. Amen. Every community, we're going to go out and do damage. whether you see it or not, just by obeying the word of God, damage has occurred. God is good. We're going to go ahead and get into the word today. And I just really want everyone to know, if you can just think about the strongholds in your life. And today is the day that you can say no more. No more. No more. You're not going to control me. Control is a terrible thing when it's not by the Holy Spirit. When it's by the perverted, unholy spirit of Satan, it's a terrible thing. And he gives you just enough sense to let you know that he has control just to make you miserable. He gives you just enough light to let you know who's controlling you so you can be miserable. Because most of us have common sense to know there is a heaven and there is a hell. And most of us have common sense to know there is a road that leads to destruction. We know that. And so he will give you enough light to let you know you're on the road to destruction. Isn't that miserable? You know you're on the road, but you don't have the strength to get off of it. You know you're going straight to hell with what you're doing, but you don't have the strength to get off. You know this isn't the right way. And he lets you know that because he likes to play with God's people like puppets. And so he brings out a spirit of shame so we won't go and confess our faults to one another. And those strongholds just get stronger and stronger in our lives. Now, as I was sitting there before I came up today, the Lord shared this with me. The atmosphere is a little strange today. I don't know if you all noticed, but I do. But you got to understand why. Now, if God is training us in spiritual warfare, we have to be mature enough to know that sometimes he's going to give us opportunity to experience what we're teaching. Okay, so he began now. I know he's just not talking to me. I know he spoke to a lot of people in here because I noticed the atmosphere. It's like, what's going on? God says spiritual warfare. And what I'm going to teach you today is you have to recognize it. And when it's there, you don't get caught up. You keep moving. See, a lot of us got caught up in it and we stopped gaining territory. That's what he said. So it had nothing to do with anything other than the Lord teaching us a lesson. And I got right excited there. See, we don't know how to push through. What we'll do, we'll stop and criticize. Mm-hmm. We don't know how to keep taking ground. We'll stop and get analytical and try to figure it out. And while you have stopped moving, the enemy's taking that territory that God had told you to take. Because you stop. Just like when he told the Israelites, wherever your feet should tread, you shall have it. But at one point, they stopped. They figured they had enough. And so I told the Lord, I thank you for that lesson. Why is it, you know, it was a resistance. It was nothing but the Lord allowing the enemy to come in with that spirit so we can get used to it. And so he can tell us today, you don't go by your emotions. You go by what you know to be true. You know we in a warfare. You know we fighting. So why are you letting that, your emotions stop you at the crossroad to think about it? A train could have been coming. You could have been, bam, dead. Because I didn't tell you to stop. Who told you? What do you call them? Looky-loos. Your focus ought to be on the cross. He didn't tell you look left and right. He told you look straight. So I thought that was a valuable lesson today. Did anybody sense that? See, praise and worship kept moving. They kept moving. I saw others. They kept moving. But I saw others. They was thinking, what in the world? Keep on thinking. You better keep moving with Christ. You better keep worshiping. You better keep following Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to get thicker and thicker. We're not up here teaching on spiritual warfare just for you to take notes and go home and file them on your. This is real. This is, you are in a war. And you need to know the devices of Satan. And this is one area that God would have us ignorant no longer. Stop counting on your emotions. Deal with that today. Emotions do play a part, but emotions should not lead you into war. Only the word of God. If God says go, you're going to tell God, I don't feel like it. You know, the music that hasn't gotten me stirred up yet, God. You know, Lord, I haven't spoken in tongues yet. You know, I haven't flipped around the church 10 times yet. And he told you to go. He can break every instrument down in this building that he wants to. The war does not stop. His word shall remain forever. So let's get our minds right. Don't come in here every Sunday expecting praise and worship to tickle your fancy. Don't get caught up in that. You put yourself in a position where you're listening for the voice of God. Hallelujah. Whether it comes through prayer, whether it comes through worship, whether it comes through the PowerPoint. I'm looking and I'm listening because the enemy is not going to trick me. Maturity tells you this ain't natural. Something's going on here. Mm-hmm. So you say, Lord, what's this about? Ask him. He'll tell you. And that's what that was. We learned a valuable lesson today. Whether it moves you or not, keep moving. Keep moving. And you watch the Lord pour out his blessings on us. Because he'll say they don't need to be pumped up. They don't need the music. That's praise. Worship always. And I was glad to see that. Praise, which y'all kept right on moving. I was moving with you too. Because I told somebody, I told him I'm on that train. I'm on that train. And see, while you sitting back trying to figure it out, the train's moving. The train's moving. Hallelujah. God is serious. I thank God for his involvement in this ministry. Amen. Now, I'm going to teach today. Now, last Sunday, God manifested what spiritual warfare was about, and we praise God for that. Isn't he wonderful? Last Sunday, he let you experience it. And today, I want to sort of touch on a few areas and teach you. Because Jesus went about teaching and preaching. And it's good to know, because he doesn't want us ignorant of Satan's devices. And so he's going to reveal some things to us today, I pray, that will begin to let us understand the dynamics of spiritual warfare, what our part is, how we are to participate in it, so we can become good warriors. Because if you are born again in the kingdom of God, you are a warrior. And there's no AWOL in this army. If you're in it, you're in it. If you're not, you're backslidden. Amen. If you're in, I didn't say you had to be perfect to be in the army. I didn't say that, because we're all learning strategy. But if you're in this army, you're in it to the death. But the good thing about it, even we win and die. Because if we die as Christians, we live eternally with him. But you better believe Satan knows this is a fight to the death. And Satan is not playing tic tac. He is fighting to kill you. He is our enemy. God give us revelation on that. He hates your guts. Pastor Jensen gave a wonderful demonstration today, or illustration. He was saying, did you hear that about the lion and the lamb, and how the lion goes about seeking whom he can devour? And he goes after that pitiful little lamb, and he claws that lamb, and he tears him up. And he said, Jesus stepped between us and the lion, and that lion tore him up for us. But it was the Father's will, because Satan was mighty hot when he realized that death couldn't keep him. But the picture is this. That would have happened to you if Jesus hadn't come to be your substitute. Now, you look at the History Channel, the Nature Channel, you see what a lion looks like tearing up a lamb. Nothing. He even chews the bones up, rips them apart. And you gonna play with him? I think sometimes we think we can beat him in our own flesh. I think sometimes we think that, you know, because we're too passive with the enemy. We go to him with our words or words from B.B. and C.C. Winans' album, you know what I'm saying? It's like, what are you saying? That's not the word. No, girl, you know, that's B.B. Lay's album, you know. And it's catchy. We remember that, though. We remember that. But that is not going to make the devil flee. It's the word of God. And plus, it's the revealed word of God. Meaning that you know that you know that you know that what you're saying is indeed true. The enemy can't trick you like he did. He say, did God say? Yes, he did say it. Didn't you hear me the first time? And it's the last time I'm going to tell you, Satan. I'm more than a conqueror. That's it. That's it. There comes a point in your life where you get so tired of the enemy making havoc in your life that you're going to raise up one day and the word of God going to come out of you and Satan going to know you mean business. I ain't going there no more. He got that revelation. It is true. Dealt with a spirit of fear for years. He plagued me like a little puppy for years. And I knew the word, I'm more than a conqueror. I knew it. I kept, you know, rehearsing it. Just a spirit of fear. If you all never dealt with that, thank God, because that's pure misery. It keeps you from going forth. Keeps you from reading your word. Keeps you from praying. Because I always thought Jesus was going to boom right in my face. I ain't ready for that. I had to be around someone reading the word. I'm serious. And begin to have little visitations. My husband, I know he was sick of me hitting him in his ribs. Because those visitations were so frightening. And I was fighting in the spirit. And I would hit him, you know. And I guess he could tell because I guess I'd be saying some silly stuff. But and you're trying to call out Jesus and you can't do it. And that I told you this before. That night that hooded thing came in my room with that red ribbon. No face floating over me. And all I could say, Lord, here we go again. But I was so tired. I sat up in that bed and I said, I mean it. Greater is he that's in me than he is. I said, I'm sick of this attack. And I told you, whatever that thing was, it bowed. And it flew right out my window. He knew at that particular time when those words came out of my mouth, it was in my spirit and I meant it. And I was set free. I was set free. And many of us are in situations in our lives where you're getting sick and tired of it now. You've been fighting the good fight of faith for many years. And there's going to come, God's going to give you a word. And you need to stick to that word. If that's the word he's given you to set you free, you stick to it until it becomes life in your spirit. And then when the enemy comes, you speak that word and watch him bow. Didn't he bow when Jesus came up? Or didn't he bow? He always bows when the word. But it has to be the revealed word. Glory to God. Spiritual warfare. We started off last week, and we begin to say every time a war begins, there's a declaration made. Roosevelt made it when Japan attacked us. Up until then, we were tolerating their foolishness. But then they really touched us. The enemy touched you yet? Has he touched your finances? Has he touched your body? Has he touched your mind? Has he touched someone that you love dearly? Has he touched you yet? Well, if he touched you, we're going to make a declaration today. Because, see, once he puts his filthy hands on you, it's personal now. It's personal now. See, when he was over in your house, you know, I was like, oh, I pray for you, sis. Because I'm doing quite fine over here, you know. He hasn't tipped in my house yet. So I'll pray for you. And sometimes we pray for one another afar. I'll pray for you in the spirit. Give you 5 minutes. Shun do the rubber 5 minutes. God in Jesus' name. But let him touch you. Let him tip up in your house. Let him mess with your mind. Please don't let him touch your finances. Lord have mercy. Now we declare it's personal now. It's on. And so we begin to stand up in our spirit. And the first thing we need to do is go surround ourselves with those who know the word of God. Those who have proved themselves to be faithful. Those who have proved themselves to be real warriors. those who have proved themselves to be full of the Holy Ghost, those who weren't ashamed when they could have been ashamed at a time in their lives and they didn't turn their back on Jesus. Look for those folk. And you gather together with them and you tell them, I need your help. The enemy has attacked. And I need you to pray with me. Glory to God. You don't go to the shallow folk. You don't go to the religious folk. You don't go to the folk who just go to church every Sunday and sign their name on the road. You don't go to those folk. In fact, you tell them, come go with me. We all need deliverance. I'm not trying to separate anybody, but when you in a time in your life where it's a matter of life and death, you want someone who's been trained to fight. Like David said, don't give me that foolish armor. I haven't tested it. Give me what I'm used to. Glory to God. I've been there, sister. I know how to push through. Oh, I remember when that happened to me. And I remember how God led me in that area. Come on, we're going to do the same thing. But this time I'm going to agree with you in Jesus' name. See, I'm going to pull you up to my level. Because I have the faith for that because I've seen it manifested in my life. I remember when I stayed on my knees crying and praying and believing and speaking the word and God answered. So come on, sister. I'm going to walk with you through it. And if you get weak, pull on my strength because I've been there before. Hallelujah. I don't have time to know the details. We don't have time to be concerned what people think. Right now, we just need some deliverance. I need some peace up in here. Glory to God. I need my health back. I need my mind back. That's how you pray. That's how you declare war on the devil. He loves to separate us. Making us think we better. We have the nerve to think we better than somebody. Where did that lie come from? How dare we rise up in pride? When we ought to humble, because if it wasn't for the Lord, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be where I am today. If it wasn't for Jesus. And we tend to forget. Quickly forget. So we made our declaration, and you need to mark it in your Bible. Luke 4:17-21. This is the declaration that Jesus made when he stood up in the synagogue and he began to let the religious folk know, I'm here and I've come to declare war and destroy the works of the devil. You got any works of the devil going on around you where they're going to be destroyed by the word of God? Is Jesus the word? This is the word speaking. If you did nothing more but get up in your home every day and quote this scripture out loud, yeah, let them think you were crazy. I had an Aunt Anne, and we thought she was crazy. Did we read it? She was always talking to the devil. Get us like, where is it? I see, that's where that spirit of fear came from, I believe. Because I actually believe what she said. I believe she was seeing in the spirit realm. You know, and she's just talking to him, walking down Church Street, a big old stick evangelizing. I can still see her now. You know, and then she see the angels all in the house, and then she has the nerve to ask me to go upstairs to her bedroom. I don't think so. I don't know if an angel going to meet me at the head of the stairs. I'm a little child. You know what I'm saying? But I thank God that I did grow up believing in the spirit realm. I just had to get it balanced. Because at the same time, you know, growing up, you're looking at shock theater, all them vampire movies. You know what I'm saying? So it was a little mixture there. All of it's real, but one of it's unholy, and the other is holy. Satan works in the dark. But Jesus stood up in Luke 4:17, and he declared. Let's stand up and declare it. Now, if you don't mean it, don't open your mouth because the devil is listening. And we need to say it with conviction. Whenever you go into the army and you make a declaration and once it's done, the military say, now you are mine. And we letting the devil know, as I read Luke 4:17 through 21, it says, the spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. He sent me to open the prison doors, hallelujah, to them that are bound. And he sent me to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Glory to God. If you agree with that, everyone says amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Now let me tell you something. You have declared war. You better keep your eyes wide open, because he's seeking whom he can devour. Don't go backwards. Move forward. You have declared war. It's open now. Hallelujah. That means you need to read your word. That means you need to pray to God. That means you need to meditate on the word. Hallelujah. That means you need to begin to get equipped. And you really need to know what your weapons are. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to come right back to you, Brother Ron. I'm going to come right back to you in just a moment. I just don't want to break this flow right now. Hallelujah. We want to keep gaining territory for the enemy. Brother Ron, you hold that thought right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We have declared war. And we are warriors. You know what a warrior is? One that's engaged or experienced in battle. Are you a warrior?
Yes.
I know I am. I'm engaged in warfare. And I have a little experience in some battles. Anybody been in some battles? Glory to God. So you are a warrior. Hallelujah. If you just can call on the name of Jesus, sometimes that's enough. Jesus. You're a warrior. We are an army, and an army is a large group of people organized for a specific cause. Organized. You can't go into the army or a battle and you don't know where your place is. Because, see, now I have to spend too much time telling you, get out my way. Or will you please go over there? It's just like on the basketball team, if I need to bring it home. You sitting out there and you have your plans, and how come everybody up under the basket? Shouldn't some of you be over there, back there, and back? Why? Because everyone wants to score and be famous. Everyone wants to be in the limelight. Everyone wants to be the All-American, the MVP. Everyone is not going to be that, but as a team, you can be champions. I love that. And if you happen to be the MVP, the Bible says, then you'll be happy for those. Don't be jealous. Be happy for them. Your turn is coming, because when the Lord rewards, he can reward all. See, it's man that like to put accolades and separate. And you better be careful with that, because, see, I've seen too many times where they can use you up and you can be the MVP, and 20 years later, they don't know who you are. You kind of old now. Go away. We got a youngin up in here. So don't fall for that. Don't get all your awards here. Work for them in eternity. So it says it's an organized. That's why you need to know your purpose. You need to know where you fit. And Psalm tells us that some will go and some will stay. See, those who stay will count the spoil that the warriors bring back. So you may be one to stay. Praise God. I'm glad, because, see, you need to know how to take care of the spoils. All that administrative work, all that counting work, all that building work. But then some of us are called to be warriors. We know how to fight. And that's why you need to be careful when your children are growing up. God gives them certain personalities. You may not understand why they behave like that, why they're so rough and tough. But God has given them to you so that you can smooth the edges. But don't break them. They could be warriors, prophets. Hallelujah. And you need to ask God, how much of this should be broken? And let the Lord do the broken. See, because they're not you. If God has given them a strong personality, you take them and you smooth the edges. But don't break them. Because you don't need no wimpy warriors. I don't want no wimpy warriors. Just in case I get wimpy, I want to jump behind you. Warriors, hallelujah, that know how to fight, that's not afraid to say what the truth is. They can look the devil in the face and say, come up in here if you want to. Just a little bit crazy, you know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Organized. Where do you fit? Where do you fit? Because, see, it doesn't make sense for everyone to go out to the battlefield, because then the enemy going to come and destroy what was left unprotected. They're going to say, they're just a silly. Come on, we're going to get, ain't nobody home. They all on the battlefield. So some of us are called to remain behind. Those intercessors, those prayer wars, those who call and do the follow-up, all of that is important. But the enemy will come to tell you, if you're not behind a podium, you're nobody. Well, that's a lie, because God done said, go. He said, go out. Go and make disciples. He has called some to be pastors, because they have sheep that need to be shepherded. Everybody's not called to be behind a pulpit. And don't you sit there and try to obtain to that. Make that your life mission. Feeling that you're worthless if you're not called to be a pastor. We're called to go and take the gospel to all the world. And now I'm going to show you our marching orders. Because the enemy has played with us too long to keep us stuck. We so stuck. And they said that a pit is just a shallow grave. And we've been in a pit for too long, because we've been trying to build us up, or build up the building, or build up our reputation, or taking money to just do things that God hasn't required of us to do. And the enemy's having a field day. People are dying unsaved left and right. See, and that's territory the Lord is saying the enemy shouldn't have gotten that. But if we hadn't been so focused on us, we are the Lord's army on earth, amen? And we're under his command. And has he not given us authority to wage war in the spiritual realms? Advancing the gospel of Christ. Advancing means to move, or cause to move forward. It means to go onward. Onward, Christian soldier. We're supposed to advance the gospel. And I hope this is good. I'm teaching today. I'm not here to make you feel good. But I am asking the Lord to give you spiritual ears so you can hear. You can hear the word. It can drop in your spirit, and it will take effect to cause you to do it. We are supposed to be advancing. Selah, think about it just for a moment. When's the last time you advanced the gospel? Think about it. When is the last time you've taken territory from the enemy? See, I thought about then. I couldn't think about it a good few minutes before I started weeping, crying, and repenting. Because, see, life can get you caught up. It can get you caught up on the job, get you caught up raising family, it can get you caught up on your own personal problems. See, that's the enemy doing that, so we won't advance. Why should he get upset if we're not on his territory? That he's blinded to the truth. And we have the light that can go and pull those shutters off. And he knows that. So we are God's army, and we've been asked to advance. But see, Satan understands the battle better than we do. He knows that the gospel advances, and that the fallen angels understand that if we went in Satan's territory, some people are going to be set free. He understands that. Now, I asked you all a pertinent question last Wednesday, I think it was. Do you even know what you're fighting? What are you fighting for? You know, we love to say, oh, we engaged in warfare. Oh, we in a war. Well, what are you fighting for? A lot of times we can say, well, I'm fighting for my mom, fighting for my dad, fighting for me to get a bigger. What are you fighting for? What are we fighting for? It's a good question. You need to think about it. And then you have to understand this. We who are saved Understand, so you can separate this thing. We who are saved, for us, the battle's been won. We are victorious. Newsflash, it ain't about us. So we need to get off that high horse and saying, but the battle's won for me. You know, I get the victory. Yes, yes, yes. But is everybody in your family saved? What about them? Who are you fighting for? What is the war over? And if you understood the war, then you would not get weary and give up. Because in a war, your mindset is you're going to get tired. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be nasty. You're going to get some wounds, but you're going to keep advancing. Why, Charles? Because you've been getting instructions to take that particular territory. And does something come over you, Charles, when you're given that command that I'm going to do that come life or death? You've been to Vietnam 3 times. Why? It's just something that comes over you to say, I'm going to fight this battle to the end. Well, why doesn't that same spirit come over us in the kingdom of God? We just made a declaration. The Lord said, now you go out and advance the gospel. But we forget we're in a war. So soon as the ugliness comes up, soon as the wounds begin to penetrate, we back up. Because what the enemy does, he bring in a spirit of depression, a spirit of shame, a spirit of weariness, a spirit just, it won't work for me. I'm so tired. I've been battling for so long. I haven't seen my prayers answered. But guess what? Once you join, you in it. And that should encourage you. Don't take it personal. It's a war. Whether it's your son, your daughter, your mother, your father, don't take it personal. It's a war. We have to keep fighting, and we do win for lost souls only if we advance the gospel. See, you saying we win is for you. I'm talking about lost souls today. Thank God we're saved and born again and under the blood of Jesus. So the battle is raging for the souls of humanity, and Satan's job is to keep them captive. He wants them in darkness. But Christ, through us, has told us to go and set the captives free. Bottom line, Satan has territory. Those on his ground are blinded to the truth. Someone told you the truth. The blinders fell off because you haven't been saved all your life. So the truth got through. And you became born again. Now you need to take that same light and go take more territory. But we don't. We come to church and we get, I don't know, we turn into a social club. What happens? We come in and we get the word. We get the word. We get the word. We get the word. We sing songs. We have dinners. We have this. We have that. And others are sitting out there dying. And you think it's not fair. Someone brought the word to us and set us free. Why don't we have that same unction to go out and set others free from Satan's darkness? That should be our goal. That's what we're fighting for, lost souls. Now you think about the news that you're seeing. Look at all this mess going on in the world. Satan's having a field day. I am so tired of seeing same-sex couples making a mockery out of marriage. And now they're so blatant that they're sending pictures up with them hugging and kissing one another. But you know what? I don't judge them. God's going to judge the church. He's going to judge the church because he said it's my word that sets them free. They are in darkness. They're doing exactly what they know to do. Satan, their father, is a pervert and he's filthy. And as long as he is their father, think about when Satan was your father. I can remember everything that the Bible said don't do, and I had a good time doing it. Sure did. Really enjoyed it. And don't let nobody tell you otherwise. But until the truth came in, really came in, and set me free, I had nothing to compare it to. We have to start fighting for whether it's your family members or not. And don't get just focused on your family members. Jesus didn't. Jesus didn't. And every time they tried to hold him at a time, Jesus said, but I have to go because others have to hear this news. His focus was taking territory from Satan. He says in 1 John, that's why he came, to destroy the works of the devil. Glory to God. God wants us to strive to seek and destroy strongholds in their lives. Because see, what happens, he knows, I'm going to tell you why Satan put strongholds in our lives. First, then I'm going to tell you how they got there, and then we're going to finish this up. When you were Satan's child, and he came into your territory, just like in the service, when you capture certain ground, you probably set up a base there. This is mine. I'm going to set up my base here. It's just like setting up a fortress. That's a stronghold from where you've moved the fight there, and that's where you're going to fight from. Okay, when we belong to Satan, he set up bases in our lives, fortresses per se. They were called strongholds, whether it was lust, alcohol, whether it was anger. Galatians tell us all about that, witchcraft, meanness, unforgiveness. He set up strongholds, and almost like people say that was your personality. Girl, don't go, that's a cussing family. Girl, don't go over there because, you know, they fight. They know how to fight. They'll cut you. Mm-hmm. Now, when you go over there, keep your purse on you because they really know how to steal. Mm-hmm. It is strongholds for certain families. And be careful. Don't talk to them because before you know it, they have lied so bad and you're going to believe the lie because it's really good. You know, folks, and the reason I can say it because I know families like this. Well, what Satan has done, he's built up a stronghold. You're his. He's captured territory. Now think about that. That was allowed to be captured because the gospel wasn't being advanced. How many strongholds is he building out in the world now? You see why it's so hard to pull down the spirit of homosexuality? Satan building, he building him a fortress. Nobody's attacking. He's just taking territory. And we sit back and we complain. And we just, oh, Obama should do this. And Obama should do that. Is he a child of God? Do you know that? You are. You know that for sure. So why aren't you advancing and taking territory? Satan's having a field day. And then we get offended when we see it publicized. Oh, the world's coming to naught. Well, what have we done to keep Satan from building strongholds? He is no opposition to him. And that's how strongholds get in your life. And then the light comes. Thank God for whoever brought the light my way. I thank God. Whether it was a grandmother, aunt, a brother, a sister, I thank God. Because, see, we could still be lost. And the light came. But guess what? Those strongholds have to be taken down. All those strongholds. And Colossians tell us you put off the works of the flesh. And we have the nerve to help Satan keep those strongholds up. Lord, don't mess with that. Lord, don't turn that. Lord, don't expose that. We help the enemy, and the enemy is saying, good boy. Good girl. Good girl. You've betrayed your father. See, he likes for us to do that. You betrayed. See, it's just like with your son and your daughter. Here you are telling them the truth, but they're going to go across the street and listen to a lie and believe the lie. It breaks your heart. You think the father doesn't feel that way? He's telling you the truth. He's telling you help. I'm going to show you how to pull that stronghold down. We don't want to hear that we have any because the devil is telling us, you know, you're perfect. You know, they're just telling you that because they're jealous of you. You don't have to do all that to serve the Father. And we listen, and the flesh likes it. And the Father's saying, don't listen. And so we help the enemy protect the stronghold that's destroying us. That's how strongholds are built. We preached on iniquity before, but all you need to do, you know your stronghold. All you need to do is confess it. Amen. And tell the Lord, I'm sorry. Amen. And this day, I'm fighting, pulling down those strongholds that come against what you say. You know the truth. You compare it. Satan knows that if he can keep the strongholds in our lives, we can't compete our assignment. And what is our assignment, we said today? Advancing the gospel. Because when we let strongholds control our life, what do we tend to do? Be self-focused. We're always defensive, always struggling to maintain rather than conquer. We're too busy defending that we don't have time to offend. We're defending. This is mine. This is mine. This is all about me. This is all about my family. And Satan say, fine, stay right there. Because as long as you're thinking about you, you don't have time to be on the offensive. You can't take any territory thinking about yourself all the time. You can't take any territory pulling down your strongholds all the time. You can't take any territory if you're being distracted by your problems. That's why Jesus was able to say when his mama came and told him, get on out here, boy, I need to talk to you. Jesus said, look, I can't be bothered right now. I'm about my father's business. He wasn't going to let anything distract him from being offensive. He was on the move. You hear me? He was taking territory from the devil. And so as long as he can keep us in the defensive mode, Satan is happy. He said, you stay right there and defend yourself and stay self-focused while I continue to conquer territory, while I continue to pull them down and let them die in their sins. You keep right on. And look, isn't that worldwide? Satan is trying to get it acceptable. But you have to see it like this. Satan has captured that territory. And it's time for us to go and begin to pull back what God has ordered us to go out and defend. So we have found out that we're in this battle about souls. Offensive warfare is this. If you remember nothing else, is this. It's going on enemy territory, pulling down strongholds, and setting Satan's captives free. Get out your defensive mode. Get out of being easily wounded. Stop being so self-focused. It's time to go onto enemy territories and set the captives free. Doesn't that give you a purpose? Doesn't that give you a purpose of being in the army? And so when you see the need, you shouldn't be taken aback. You shouldn't be caught off guard. That's what the warfare is about. So when your loved one or a neighbor falls or you see them in certain sin, don't take the time to discuss it. Just say, this is part of the warfare. That's part of the warfare. And that's why I'm in the army, to pull down those strongholds. So we need to start interceding for communities and those on our jobs. Stop talking about them. See, that will keep you to stop you from judging folk. We're not here to judge folk. We're here to take territory from the enemy. And that's why you need to see it. When someone is caught up in sin, or when you see someone under Satan's captivity, don't judge them. Get excited. Just say, oh, that's an opportunity to take territory from the enemy. That's what we need to rejoice in. We need to get excited about that thing. Hey, girl, can you come over here? Somebody's misbehaving. You need to jump in your car and roll over and say, where? Where they at, girl? You need to be ready. You need to be ready to fight with the word of God. But don't come to me if you don't have the word of God in you. Because that spitting and hitting and clicking, that ain't going to do anything. Don't come out of that foolishness. You come out of some word. Some reveal word. And we're going to get that devil out of there quick. And it's not going to take forever. No, it's not. So don't be afraid. And the first thing the enemy put on you is weariness. I can't go. You know, I got to do this. And the enemy say, fine, I don't want you to go over there because that's my territory. I don't want you on my territory. And I'm hoping this is changing your mindset. It's warfare, y'all. Stop talking about folk and start fighting. You know, it's easy to talk about folk. You know that, right? Because y'all perfect, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody up in here perfect. Ain't never been there, done that before. But as long as the enemy can control that tongue for his purpose, the Holy Spirit can't use it for God's. Uh-huh. See, the Holy Spirit want to use that tongue to set the captives free. Satan want to use it to tear them down. We're fighting for souls. Stop your judging. Stop your criticizing. Let's put our boxing gloves up. I'm going to end with this, and you can go home and read it. In Acts 17, Paul was a warrior. But if you read Paul in chapter 17, Paul went from Thessalonica to Berea, I think to Ephesus. And when he began to travel those cities, everywhere he went, they say he looked for a synagogue or a marketplace. He was ready to set the captives free. And he said he reasoned with the word of God. And you know, in Thessalonica, Satan raised up some Jews to come against him. They didn't want him preaching the word of God. But Paul knew Paul was going into enemy's territory. He traveled. Paul was on the move, so he went into enemy's territory. But he wasn't swayed. He wasn't afraid of the enemy. So he went to Thessalonica, and he began to reason with them, and the word set the captives free. But you're going to always have to be prepared for those that Satan raise up against you. And they not only attacked him in Thessalonica, well, I think he went to Berea after that. They followed him there. And Paul went there and looked for a marketplace or a synagogue. And he said, I'm going to preach the gospel. He didn't go there to lounge. He didn't go there to lay by a pool. He didn't go there to, you know, to mingle with the rich folk. He went there to set the captives free. And then those same men followed him there. But that's okay. Paul wasn't tired. He went on to the next city. Hallelujah. And I believe that maybe where he saw an altar to the unknown God, he took an opportunity to let them know about the known God. And I think even at that point, he was waiting for Silas and Timothy to come. Well, he didn't go take a nap. He said, while I'm waiting on him, let me go and take some territory from the enemy. And he went out and began to preach the word. And many came to Christ. And then from there, he may have went to Ephesus, then Corinth. He was a warrior. He was taking territory for the kingdom. And we need to be like-minded. When we leave here today, our mindset need to be, where can I take territory from the enemy? It's the enemy that we need to start fighting and not each other. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. It's spiritual warfare. Don't be caught off guard. Stop playing in Satan's den. Stop visiting his house. Hallelujah. Stop mingling with his friends. You're holy. You're holy.